Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with a great story by Jivalax called Greenfields. You want to know where I'm going? Well, first, you got to know where I've been. Many years ago, when I was just a young man, just after I had seen my first war, I was discharged and set free upon a world with coins in my purse, armor on my back, and a sword at my hip. Like many young men who survived something dangerous, I felt invincible. I decided to follow my feet to whatever adventure they might lead. Maybe it was my Nana's fault. She filled my head with stories of brave warriors, cunning wizards, and fearsome beasts from the time I was in the cradle until I left for war. Be brave, she said. You never know where the adventure might lead you. So, with the exuberance of youth and a weapon in hand, off I went to find my fortune. That first year was hard. I went from town to town, picking off random monsters and bandits as opportunity allowed. But with a good steed and a building reputation, I was confident fame and fortune were all but in hand. It was during this time of naivety that fate led me to the tiny thorp of Greenfields. No, don't bother looking for it on any maps. You won't find it. It's not but a handful of crude huts and an inn. I know. You're thinking, why would such a small little place have an inn? I thought that too, but after you spend a few days sleeping on the ground, you don't spit at good fortune. So I rode up to the inn, a rather well-kept place, really, larger than you'd expect, dismounted and tied my horse to the rail. It wasn't until that moment that I really noticed the other horses tied there. Ratty old things. Big-boned. The more I looked, and the more it seemed these creatures were old war horses. You know, the kind of war horses that wore barding and carried knights into battle. Well, these things were a decade out of any kind of service, and had been in their prime sometime before that. Not that it's really terrible to see old military mounts repurposed as plow horses and given to farmers, but these particular creatures looked to be almost as much scar as horse. Oh, the battles they must have seen. Now they were probably too old to even just pull a plow. As I stepped onto the porch of the inn, one of the horses turned a dead-eye stare at me. I stumbled back a bit and reached for my sword. I would never have admitted it at the time, but I'm being honest now, I will. That horse had probably seen more death than I had. The thing actually scared me a little. Imagine that, me being scared of a horse. And an old, broken-down one at that. But I got over it. It was just a horse, after all, and stepped into the inn. Inside, the place was clean and remarkably well-stocked for a tavern in the middle of nowhere. The candles and fire cast a dim flickering light on everything inside, but it wasn't unpleasant. Rather, it felt cozy, warm and safe, really. A quick survey of the place showed me a handful of gray-haired patrons, all of whom gave me a disinterested glance and went back to their own business. The bartender, a large but solid balding man of increasing years, smiled and waved me over. A beautiful place you have here. Really glad I found it. I have found it's very helpful to be polite, and it costs nothing. Thank you. Bit of a childhood dream to own a place like this. What can I get for you, stranger? He favored me with a large smile that seemed genuine, but also included a hint that shenanigans would not be tolerated. A drink, to start with, and some information. You see, I'm a man of adventure. Yeah, I really was that silly back then. Are there any problems you might need a sword swinger to solve? Bandits in the area, perhaps? Monsters? The barman seemed to warm considerably and smiled as if barely able to hold in a secret. No, this is a calm little community. There is nothing here any monsters or bandits want, but have a mug on me, friend. He slid a tankard of brew across the table to me, and he continued to eye me with a smile. But, you know, everybody needs to make a living, and I am not one to rely on the generosity of others. Could I get some food as well? I asked, sliding a few coins back his direction. He gave me a hearty chuckle, and soon produced a plate containing a T-bone steak, baked potato with sour cream, and roasted asparagus on the side. Now, mind you, at the time I had never seen such fine fare. Growing up on a farm, we only ate beef when the cow died, and roasted veggies were for royalty. Even the army officers didn't eat so well. I was sure the pitiful coins I had passed him wouldn't cover the meal, but he refused to take another penny. I had barely finished blessing my meal when I noticed a tug on my cloak. I turned to find this nice old woman mending a tear I had garnered some weeks earlier. She smiled up at me with a kindness that melted me. I missed my Nana so. and this woman looked somehow familiar.
There you go, young man. All better. I'm a tailor. I can mend things,
she crooned.
Maggie, let the nice man eat his meal, the bartender said.
He looked at me and twitched his hand near his head, indicating the woman was perhaps a bit daft. Maggie patted my shoulder and toddled off, repeating,
I'm a tailor.
She's a kind woman, I said. The barman smiled and nodded.
Don't let your steak get cold.
Pay attention now. I'm going somewhere with this. As I looked over toward Maggie, it struck me why she looked so familiar. Remember I said how Nana had told me those stories? Well, in her storybook, there were pictures. Have you heard about Margaret of the North, a.k.a. the Sorceress of the North? Well, Maggie looked like her great-grandma. It really made me miss Nana. Just before I was done with my meal, the door flew open and this mountain of meat walked in. He was a young man, even younger than me, but twice my size. His arms were bigger than my legs, and I'm sure stronger, too. I was no wimp, but this guy was big, and big trouble, I judged by how he swaggered to the bar and slammed his ham-sized hands down hard on the counter.
Arkeep, fetch me the best squill you have in this rat-infested hole, he bellowed.
To his credit, the bartender didn't seem at all impressed or intimidated. He simply reached for a tankard, filled it, and passed it over. The big guy took a long pull, then looked around the inn.
Any of you geezers got daughters, or will I be taking your haggish wives to bed tonight?
Now, normally, I don't go for such language, especially around women. I considered inviting this brute outside to discuss proper manners with him. Two things stopped me. One, he was huge, as I've said, but I fought bigger. The second, though, made my gut knot and my blood turn cold. The patrons of that inn didn't cower in fear or hustle off and hope there was no violence. In fact, they all just stared at the big man, stared appraising, in a way a farmer looks at his sheep when he has decided his next meal will be mutton. The big man actually looked a little concerned for a minute. Finally, an old man stood with some effort and threw off his cloak. He was wearing the most ridiculous outfit. It was like the actors wear when they're telling a story of Calvi the Destroyer. You know the one, the big muscle-bound guy raised as a slave, trained as a gladiator, became a king. Anyway, I figured this grandpa used to be some kind of actor. The armor didn't even fit him. It was way too big for him, but even at his age, he was tall enough that it seemed clear it used to fit.
You'd better be going now, sonny. No one here wants to hurt you. Just walk away.
The big guy laughed uproariously.
You fogies need to be taught a lesson, he yelled as he took a step.
The old man in the costume closed the distance and poked the big guy right in the eye. As the man let out a yelp, the gray hair punched him in the throat. The big man hunched over gasping, both hands to his neck. I had no more comprehended what happened when this blast of freezing cold roared past me and crashed into the big guy, turning him to solid ice and pitching him through the door, the way a child would throw a small toy. Maggie brushed frost from her hair and the table in front of her.
I'm a tailor.
Oh, Maggie, why do you have to ruin another door? The bartender asked.
The old man, in the not-so-silly-anymore armor, said,
Don't worry, I can make you a new one. I'm a carpenter. Of course you can, Calvin. And I'm a bartender.
Then he looked at me.
And you, young man, are welcome back when you're ready.
I fled that inn. I was terrified at the time. I thought I knew all there was to know. And seeing that I didn't scared me to death. But it didn't stop me. You know, I've made a fortune, lost it, and made another. I've been everywhere and seen everything. I've killed enough men and monsters to run the river red from here to creation. I've got nothing to prove to anybody. You can have the castle and the kingdom and the knights and their horses. I'm done. Carry on with the petty wars, the politics, the drama, the intrigue, and the lies. Or not. I don't care. I've got no belly for it anymore. You asked me where I was going. I'm going to Greenfields. I'm a farmer.
Echoes, 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 echoes. From the Cavern was brought to you by Lord Baldrith and Sir Style Teakle. Do you have a piece you would like us to read? Please contact us at lordbaldrith@thecaverns.net or style@thecaverns.net.